Yeah, you know, as part of God's plan is that the nations are in his heart. You know, when you think about what the Bible says in Revelations, that on that day before the throne of God, all men from all tribes, from all nations, from every tribe, tongue, stood before the throne of God. That means that in the heart of God, he had purposed there to be nations. Nations of various tribes, of various tongues, and all these stand before God and they worship Him. So every nation that exists on the face of the earth is a plan of God. And that is why Jesus said, I send you, you know, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. In fact, the other versions that said, go and disciple nations. You know, it's more of like all nations are in the plan of God. Even Abraham himself was told that, look here, through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through his seed. Who is his seed? Christ. So when the Christ came, he purposed to reach out to all nations. And that is why I kept saying that there are 24 elders, because 12 elders are for the children of Israel, but then 12 elders are for the nations, for the Gentiles. That means the pattern of God has always been that all nations, not just the Israelites, but also all nations to be part of the plan of God. And the reason he chose Israel was just a pattern to demonstrate to others and to demonstrate his love on how he can deal with the people. You know, he wanted a kingdom. He wanted a nation of priests and prophets to him. And that is why you remember Moses made a prayer that all God's people were prophets. God desires, and Moses made a prayer to God, that all people should be prophets. And indeed, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in every man. Every man that has given their life to Jesus, what happens is that the Holy Spirit comes and lives in them and dwells in them and makes them vessels of honor. So we thank God indeed as we carry on with our Bible study. And today we are in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it's one of the chapters that speaks into the role of Christians in politics, in terms of really how we interact with leaders, with those in authority. But beyond that, also, Paul will address the issue of men and women in the church. And you know, there's always a background to it. And so that is why we'll be able to see that given the time. If not, we will carry on tomorrow. So let's read from 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let me just pause there, because there are different concepts there before I go into the aspect of salvation and mediation. Now, there is a place for prayer. You know, nowadays there's so many ideas and concepts that are coming in, and you can find there can be impressions that it is not necessary to pray. You can find their teachings that come in, they say, no, God has already given it to you. You already have it, so you don't need to pray, you don't need to command, you know. But there is, if you understand how the scriptures speak, we are told to pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. That means there is no prayer that you make to God that is wrong. As long as it is in alignment to the will of God, God expects us to make all kinds of prayers to Him. When He says that all of our supplications. What is supplication? Supplication is bringing, you know, a plea. You know, like if you're in the court of law, you are bringing a plea before God or before the judge. You're bringing a supplication. You're saying, God, if it were possible, why don't you do this? Please make a way. You know, then he's saying supplications, prayers, intercessions. You're praying for others. And giving of thanks. That means our prayer must involve various components of prayer. Remember when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he asked them, they came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples. You know, you will see even John taught his disciples how to pray. And Jesus tells them, when you pray, pray after this manner. He does not say pray always this prayer. You know, there are people who will argue that we should only pray the prayer that Jesus taught. That's the Lord's Prayer, or my friend calls it the disciples' prayer, what he told the disciples. But he tells them that pray after this manner. Luke 11, pray after this manner. That means there is a way that you can pray, and there is a pattern. And the pattern, of course, starts with adoration. You pray to God. You give him glory, you worship him, you adore him, you say he is holy, you thank him for what he has done. You bring, you know, you think of every good thing that he is. Think about how men approach their bosses, or how men approach kings, or, you know, when people, you want favor from presidents, they go with praises in their mouth. You know, they go with flattery. Some will just go and say, even if it is the wrong thing, they will just make sure they give praise to that man. Why? Because they know when you do that, it softens the heart. It softens the hearts of the leaders. How much more of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? There is no one that goes to him in worship that God does not listen. In fact, he says these are the kind of worshipers that the Father is seeking. You know, worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth, not on the mountain, not in Jerusalem. Why? Because the time of the temple, the physical temple, Jerusalem or the mountain, ended. And that's why Jesus told the woman by the well that a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers, the time has now come when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That means wherever you are, in your house, in your room, even in the office, you can be worshiping your Father in spirit and in truth. And the Bible says, these are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So God seeks worshipers. It's not that he seeks the worship, no. The most important person to God is you, the communion with you. And that is why God looked on favor with Abel, to Abel and his offering, and he did not look to favor on Cain and his offering. That means it is a person first that is acceptable before God, then the offering is accepted. So there is a call to prayer, and he's saying that let us make prayer as supplications, intercession, all kinds of prayers, giving thanks, to be made for all men. You know, there's a way that at times we can be praying, you know, what we call prayers just for ourselves, selfish prayers. But if we understand that prayer looks to God, then looks at yourself, you look at yourself, you confess your sins, you look if there's anything that is amiss with you, you ask God for yourself. But then also our prayer must also look around us. You must look at the country you're in. You must look at the situations you're facing. You must look at your family members. Anytime that you enter into that place of intercession where it is no longer you even just praying for yourself, but you're praying for others, there is no way you can pray for others. You can commit the needs of others, and God fails to honor your own needs. One of the blessings of being an intercessor, of praying for people, is that as you even focus on others, and how do you intercede in the right way? You intercede by, as you're praying, you're sensitive, your heart is sensitive, and the people that pop up in your mind while you're praying, those are the things and those are the people that you pray for. Now, when you start to submit yourself to that level of prayer, and that say that, God, I'm here to pray. I might not know what to pray. Holy Spirit, you who help me in intercession, pray along with me and guide me in prayer. And the Bible says that the Spirit, even though we do not know what to pray, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with words that cannot be, with groans that words cannot express. So as you pray, then God starts to show you what you need to pray for per time and season. And one of the benefits, and this is something that you should desire to do if you're not able to, is to pray in tongues. Why? Because when you pray in tongues, the Bible tells us your mind is unfruitful, but you're speaking mysteries to God. It's like the direct kind of prayer line to God that God hears, because God is spirit. You're speaking in a spiritual language. Remember, the Bible says that we speak spiritual things in spiritual words taught by the Spirit, in spiritual words. So when you pray in tongues, especially when you don't know what to say, when you're feeling in your heart a heavy burden, you know, there are times you can just be seated and you just feel there is a call to prayer. Always honor those moments. Why? Because God desires that you partner with him in prayer. Prayer is so important to men, because God says that Jesus told them a parable that all men ought to pray and not faint. The day your prayer life is attacked, the day your prayer life falls, is the day you start to become faint. You start to faint. What does it mean, fainting? Fainting is losing strength in the day of battle. There are things that come ahead. And one of the things you must know, that God does not have a dustbin for prayers. There is no dustbin that God has for prayers. Every prayer that you make, every cry that you make, a time is coming when God is going to answer it. If you stay committed, if you stay faithful, if you stay just believing, it just says continue asking, continue seeking, continue knocking. God is not the God that we give ultimatums. You know, someone will say, oh, if God did not answer this month, I'm walking away. No, God is a king. And kings, we wait on kings. We wait on them to move. And God loves us so much that all that he either allows or delays is because he knows there's a right time and a right season for it. God is never late. He knows how to put the pieces in order. You know, we call him the master jigsaw maker, the master matchmaker, the master puzzle fitter. He's able to connect this person in this country to this person in this country and to ensure they meet at the right time. Not a second late, not a second earlier. Now, when you're constantly in prayer, what happens is that God starts to make these divine coincidences. You know, some people call them coincidences, but you can call them these divine incidences to happen at the right time, that you are in step. When it says that those who are led by the Spirit, those who keep in step with the Spirit, you need to keep in step. How do you keep in step in the Spirit? By constantly being in the ministry of intercession and prayer, and intercession and reading of the Word. And the Bible tells us that how do our prayers go up to heaven? They go up as incense. The bowl, you know, the elders were through the bowls that had the incense. And he was, when John asked, he was told, this incense is the prayers of the saints. What aroma are you taking up to God? Is it an aroma of intercession? Not complaints. Do not complain to God. In fact, complaints are some of the biggest killers of our blessings, because the moment you complain, it is a lack of faith. Yes, it does not mean that you do not deny where you are, but you bring it to God. Remember yesterday we spoke about contending with the prophecies. You tell God, God, you say that the righteous will never be forsaken. Their children will never beg for bread. In, you bring that verse and you tell God, God, this is your word. I am standing on your word. You contend with the prophecy. Now, God says that we must pray for all men. That means even wicked men, we pray for them. Even sinners, we pray for them. And he says for kings and for all those who are in authority. There is no one in authority that God has not allowed. Yes, it might look like it is the systems of men. Yes, it might look like it's democracy. Yes, it might look like it has been stolen or whatever it is. And at times, that's where at times Christians struggle. You're like, no, this person is wrong. This person stole the elections. Or this person stole this. Why are they there? Why are they the wrong people? But you see how God operates is that he allows certain people to enter for certain times and seasons. The book of Daniel, we read that it is God who appoints and deposes kings. He raises up kings, he deposes them. He lifts up one, he deposes the other. And he says he reigns in the affairs of men. When he was raising King Cyrus, and this is the prophecy, he says that I have raised up Cyrus, and he calls him my anointed servant. And he's speaking of a king who does not know God, who is a heathen king, and he calls him my anointed servant, and he says, this is the man who shall build my temple for me. And later on, when the temple is to be rebuilt, it is actually King Cyrus who gives the order and who gives the resources for it. So now, someone might look wicked, someone might look like he has destroyed the whole world, but you see, God tells us still to pray for them. He says, let us pray for kings, for those who are in authority. This means even our supervisors, even our managers. Why? Because they actually hold our destinies in their hand. In that, if your manager or if your boss or if those in authority, if the kings, their minds are corrupted and they end up in the wrong direction, what results is the casualties of many. You can think of how David, when David Satan entered his heart, and he decided to number the fighting men. What happens? A plague hits and over 180,000 people are killed until he goes and cries out to God for mercy. And then God shows him, okay, go and offer this sacrifice at the threshold of Arauna. He goes and offers the sacrifice and then it is stopped. But you see, the leader impacted the rest. Think of how God even speaks of Adam. He says the sin of one man resulted in the sin entering into the world. Death reigned through the sin of one man. Just because Adam sinned, death have reigned since. But it tells us because of the obedience of one man who is Christ, grace and life reign. And means you can receive the abundance of grace. So leadership is so important. And God tells us the way to go about it is to pray for them. There are many people trying to influence leaders, be it witch doctors, be it false men, be it wicked men. They try to influence them with their policies for the wrong reason. Think about the stories of Daniel. You can think of how they calculated and they were like, how can we take away Daniel? The only way it is, let us ask the king, you know, to make this statue and then everyone must worship him. If everyone does not worship him, then whoever does not worship him will throw them into the den of lions. Now you can think about it. Daniel still goes ahead to pray 3 times a day. He opens his window, he faces Jerusalem, he maintains his covenant, he maintains his hour of prayer, he maintains his consistency. And when they throw him even in the den of lions, the Bible says God sends his angels to shut the mouth of the lions. Can you imagine hungry lions? Food is thrown before them, but an angel comes to shut their mouth. Now, that is what God does when people depend on him. When people have said, you know what? Whether he saves us or he doesn't save us, we are not going to change. Consistency in that place of prayer is what gives you authority on this earth. Remember, we say that we are both kings and priests. Revelation 1 verse 6, he has raised us to be kings and priests. You want to walk in authority as a king on the earth. You want to walk in the authority of the saints that God has given you to sit with Christ in heavenly places. It is by your prayer. It is by your ministry of priesthood. If you're a man, you are a priesthood over your home. If you're a woman, even if your man is not in prayer, you must stand in the gap. And as you pray for them, then God will place that burden on them too. There is a place for prayer. It says, let us pray for those who are in authority as believers. Yes, you can engage in politics. There's nothing wrong with that. You can go into that governance space. But do you have your values? Have you been to that place where you're not going to play like them, or but you're going to show them how to be a godly leader, how to live outside of corruption? But sadly today, in fact, if you look at many of our countries, the Christians who are really Christians who enter into places of authority actually are the ones who end up to be the worst. They end up to be the worst thieves, they end up to be murderers and all these things. And you ask yourself, but I thought this person had grown. No. You see, there are seeds that carry certain issues, certain covenants, there are certain dispositions that pull their hearts in the wrong direction. And if we don't plead for the mercy of God for these leaders, then we too shall suffer in this. And think about the context of this. Why is he telling them to pray for their leaders? And this is the time of Nero. Now, the Emperor Nero, there was a fire in Rome. And because there was a fire in Rome, he needed some people to blame. So who does he blame? He blames the Christians. And because he blames the Christians, a persecution starts. And because this persecution started, it's so heavy that they even used to use, you know, street lights where they burn Christians and they torch them. They're like the street lights at night. You can imagine such great persecution that was taking place against the Christians. And then Paul, through the word of God, is telling the believers, that pray for that one, even pray for that wicked ruler. Pray for Nero. Pray for them. Those who are in authority. Why? Because when we pray for them, we can be able to lead a quiet and a peaceable, a quiet and a peaceful lives in all godliness and reverence. When there is chaos and there is war, there is loss of dignity. People walk in poverty. People walk in abject destruction. You can imagine women are raped and children are abandoned, made orphans. Husbands, their wives are killed. You know, men and women, they are left orphans. All these things is the effect of wicked and when the systems crumble. Yes, democracy might not have been the pattern of God, but he has accepted it. The Israelites did, God was their king, but when they asked for a king, he said, well, okay, I'll give you one. God allows men to do their own systems, but he will work through those systems and he will raise up his own Daniels. He will raise up his own Josephs in those systems who can depend on him. And any king, anyone in authority that depends on the wisdom of God, their people shall prosper. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people prosper. Let us pray for God to turn the hearts of kings towards him, to do the right thing. Because you can live a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Why? Because God wants us to walk and to live in peace. It is good to be in peace. The Bible tells us that do not be a wrongdoer, because it is not without reason that they bear the sword. Those in authority, they bear the sword. If you are an evildoer, they will punish you. That is the truth. But if you do the right thing and you're punished for the right thing, God says that you are blessed. Stand with the truth. Stand with the truth. The truth is not what the multitudes believe. The truth is bigger than the multitudes. In fact, the multitudes is the road is broad. But the road that leads to life is narrow. And the Bible says, few find it. God wants you to live a peaceful and a quiet life. In fact, I think we had read earlier in 2 Thessalonians where it says that make it your business to mind your own business. Let your life be minding your own business. Don't bother so much as busybodies. Oh, what is this person doing? Oh, what is this other doing? No, focus on yourself. Focus on your growth. Focus on your family. Focus on your career. As you do those things in peaceful and quiet life, then you can worship God more. In fact, God does not want you to be so busy that you don't have time with him. In fact, the reason why God helps to clear your schedules is so that you can worship him. But we love to pack ourselves so much that we miss the most important things. That is why Martha was crying. Oh, no. Why are you not telling my sister to come and sit with me? Why are you not telling her to sit with me? Saying, Martha, you are worried about so many things. But she has chosen what is right, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary had just chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and to wait on him. And that's what at times God calls us to do. Just come and sit with me. Come away with me and sit with me. Have a peaceful moment with me, because God wants us to live in peace. He wants us to pray for our leaders. And even as we pray for nations, let us pray that God shall establish the peace of the nations we are in. God shall preserve our leaders. God shall pray, help those in authority, and they shall come and they shall be able to stand for truth. And why, at the end of it, when all that happens, is that men will live in peace. They can be saved. They can come to the knowledge of the truth. And yes, we shall look at that at another time when God allows us. Yeah, I think I'll stop here, and I pray that God has given us insight into this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Maya. No addition for myself.
No. Thank you. Let us pray. Thank you for those that joined in. We thank God. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. We honor your holy name. Thank you for your loving kindness, that you have loved us with an everlasting love, that you say we need to offer our prayers, our intercessions, our supplications, our thanksgiving to all men, O God. And Father, I thank you for the nations of the world. Thank you for the nations that we are in, O God, that nations are in your plan. They are in your pattern, O God. You have a destiny for each and every one of us, O God. There is no nation that is not according to your purposes, O God. I plead your mercies, O God. Let the nations of the world hear the gospel, O God. Use us, O God, to reach the nations of the world. All those nations that we don't even know, O God. We send forth your word. Let your word send forth laborers, O God, to go and release life, O God. I pray for the peace of the nation. I pray for the peace of Bangladesh, O God. Let your hand and power prevail over the elections, O God, over the peace of the land, O God. Let your hand be upon each and every man, O God. The Lord, we shall be covered. Protect your people. Protect the churches. Protect our nations, O God. Even back home, O God. May your hand and power be upon each and every one of us. I thank you for kings, O God. I thank you for our leaders, O God. I thank you for those in authority. Those in authority in our workplaces. Those in authority in the offices. In the market. In the church, O God. I pray that, Lord, you shall keep them in your heart, O God. You shall preserve them from wicked influences, O God. You shall guide their steps, O God, that they shall walk in the wisdom of God, in the power of God, in the authority of God. I pray for preservation, O God. And Lord, you say that we may live peaceful and reverent lives in all godliness, O God. I pray for the peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of surroundings, peace with the nature, peace with our neighbors, O God, with everything that is around us, O God. You say that when a man ways please the Lord, you make even his enemies to be at peace with him, O God. Oh God, I pray for peace over your children, oh God. Let the peace of God prevail in our hearts, prevail in our lives. Remember our family members, watch over them, preserve them, keep and sustain them. We honor you, we exalt you, and we give you glory. May your blessings be upon your children. May your power, may your preservation, and may your hand, oh God. May they walk in victory. May they walk in the blessings of God. May they walk in the abundance of your provision. We honor you and we exalt you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.